You're listening to The Cultural Hall with your hosts, Richie T. Stedman and Ashley Garvey Smith. It's a show about Mormon stuff.
Nephi! Ella! Samuel! Give us land if they live righteously!
All right, it is episode 23 of The Cultural Hall. Coming up, we'll be visiting with Jill Stevens, and she's a good friend of mine from back in college. I think that it's going to be an awesome interview, so I look forward to having her here in The Cultural Hall.
Yes, former Miss Utah 2007. She's great.
And military, the whole deal.
Yes.
Again, joining us in The Cultural Hall, it's Andrea. I'm sorry.
Yes, my name is Andrea now.
Distracted by my phone. Yes. Ashley Garvey Smith.
Ashley Garvey Smith.
And me, of course, Richie T. Stedman. You can get in touch with us via the Facebook. And you always have to put the in front of it because it's prestigious
right.
to put
the Facebook. It's like The Cultural Hall.
Exactly. Search The Cultural Hall or follow us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall. Or you can just go online the old-fashioned way before there were social networks. Mm-hmm. You can just go to theculturalhall.com. You want to know a little secret?
What is that?
If you go to theculturalhallpodcast.com. Same website.
I noticed that.
Right?
I did notice
right?
that.
Right? Mm-hmm. Cool, huh?
Yes, very cool.
That's $11 a year for that.
Yeah, oh, good job. Is it worth it?
So far.
It is.
So far, because you never, was it Cultural Hall? Was the Cultural Hall podcast?
Right.
It actually stems from, we didn't think we were going to get theculturalhall.com to begin with. And we talked him into it, as you know from being a listener.
No, that's right. That's true.
So you were telling me right before I turned the microphone on, perpetuating female stereotypes,
yes.
Not necessarily Mormon related, but
no,
tell me.
Just female. And it's a horrible stereotype that females are bad drivers.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was perpetuating them this morning as I jumped a curb. And
full on both tires or just one?
Just one. Well, so this is not the first time I've done this. This actually a year ago. You know those parking barriers, they're big cement parking barriers that tell you where you should park and not to drive over them?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was one there.
And
So I got out of my car, got back in my car, pulled forward, jumped it, high-centered my
yeah.
car. High-centered my car. This guy comes like driving around in his truck looking at him and just shaking his head like, seriously,
woman.
Girl driver.
Yeah.
And so high-centered it, and I did it again. This morning, and it literally ripped like the panel from the bottom of my car off, and it, I'm pretty sure it tore a hole in my oil pan. I don't know how.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Don't drive too much on it then, if you don't have an
oil
pan.
Well, it is now in the shop.
Oh.
Yes, it's now in the shop, getting fixed, and that is it's seriously like the third time that's happened. For some reason, I cannot see those curbs or parking barriers. Maybe it's because I'm only 5 feet tall and. I mean, maybe that's why.
You need a phone book?
Possibly. I think I'm going to have to start doing that. I think my husband is going to make me start doing that so I don't keep jumping curbs.
Here's Ashley's little booster seat
yeah,
for when
exactly.
she drives. Come here, sweetheart.
So I'm sorry to all the women out there. I am the one that is perpetuating those stereotypes, and I apologize because I'm sure most of you are great drivers.
I'm not so sure
well.
About that. I appreciate you, though, taking time. I know you had to get a babysitter.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Stay-at-home mom, Ashley Garvey Smith,
yes,
musician
that's
extraordinaire.
Right.
But that's hard, getting a getting a babysitter and sneaking out of the house. So
it
I
is,
appreciate it.
Yes, it is. But it is also nice to be able to get out of the house every once in a while as a stay-at-home mom.
Be able to speak with another adult
right,
as opposed
exactly.
to...
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Well, my three-year-old doesn't really talk like that, luckily.
She does to me, which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
So I wanted to get into this. On episode 21 of The Cultural Hall, that's the one where we visited with the gay return missionaries, the
right.
three missionaries, different phases of being out, different ages. Certainly some had been out longer than others of them, but those three, there were some comments that were left at theculturalhall.com. And you can do this with any of the episodes, past or you know, even this episode when you get done listening with it. Or you could actually stop listening right this second and go make a comment if you felt that compelled.
Right.
But on episode 21, there's a comment, and I don't have the name on here, so I would have left it anonymous anyway. But after we posted that episode about the gay return missionaries, it says, "Seriously? Another episode about homosexuality and the church. You guys hit on the issue of homosexuality a lot in your podcast. You've had a number of episodes dedicated specifically to the subject, and you seem to bring it up in almost every episode, whether it be discussing it in an interview or talking about it as a story in the articles of news. I liked the podcast better when it was lighthearted, faith-promoting look at Mormon culture and LDS people in the world, instead of the heavy-handed, agenda-promoting attempt to make church members feel guilty for not approving of the homosexual lifestyle it has become. You've even gone so far as to question church leaders' motives and criticize the way the Lord's anointed have handled this issue. I used to be a faithful listener, but your continuous promotion of the idea that the church and its members are wrong for disagreeing with the homosexual lifestyle has made me question whether this podcast is a good use of my time. The Cultural Hall podcast is becoming less virtuous, lovely, of good report, or praiseworthy, and perhaps I should no longer seek after it. So we got that comment, right? I want to read the other two comments, and then we'll get to just a brief discussion of this. This one on this same episode, 21, says, "Thanks. Great episode. I've learned since coming home that one of my companions was gay, and there was an elder in one of our districts who was also gay. We had suspicions at the time, and unfortunately some of the other missionaries treated him differently as a result, and it never really bothered me. Actually, the one who wasn't my companion, it turns out, had a crush on me, I'm fairly certain, but that's a story for another time. I support my former companion as a person. He's a great humanitarian, and the label of tweet tweet gay doesn't matter to me. He's happy with his husband, and I think that's great for him." And a third comment that posted that said, "Great episode." This is again on the episode 21 with the gay return missionaries. "Great episode. This is an important topic that needs to be discussed. We can't talk about it at church. Thanks for providing a forum for people who feel marginalized by their church community. The church and its members may disagree with homosexuality, but that won't make it go away. We need to show true Christianity and welcome all of our fellow travelers into the church community. Let's not forget that it was not that long ago when blacks were also marginalized."
That's so interesting.
Given all that, let me start here. We have now done... This is the 23rd episode of the Cultural Hall, and there has been two episodes, which was technically one episode with Mitch Main that we divided into
two parts
because it was long. There were about a homosexual bishop in San Francisco.
Right.
Then there was episode 21. A homosexual bishopric member. Sorry.
Right.
Thank you. And then episode 21, which was homosexual return missionaries.
Right.
So that's
two.
Three.
Three. Well, yes.
Three, if you count, because we counted it as a number. Three episodes of 20, now three
right.
episodes. Jill Stevens, a very heterosexual and happy person.
Yes.
Just so you know, whoever, you know, posted that comment.
Right.
So that's three of 23. That's, you know, 1/8 if we want to go roughly rounding it up, or 12.5%.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's not every episode. But here I will speak a little bit further. Of all the episodes of the Cultural Hall that we have posted, the ones that people have been most interested in have been episode 13, the first part with Mitch Main, episode 14, the second part with Mitch Main, and episode 21 with the gay return missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't put in the homosexual part because I'm the one who schedules who we have on the Cultural Hall. I don't do it because I'm like, this is going to get lots of people riled and listening and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as one of those comments, you know, introduced, I do it because this is a place to have those types of conversations.
And it is an important conversation to have.
It
absolutely is.
And people don't feel comfortable with it. And people wouldn't have known about it. I know a lot of people who, for whatever reason, and I don't understand how they can be that way, do not know a homosexual person or do not have a close affiliation or have never, you know, heard from a homosexual point of view. This, I believe, to be a great opportunity for people to be opened, have their mind opened to, if not the homosexuality, certainly the person, you know, behind their homosexuality. So let me say this about that. When we talked about, you know, criticizing the you know, members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and things like that, what I said was, to clarify, what I said was with Proposition 8, I felt like I was a misinformed member of the church. I wish that the church would have taken more time to explain to me why it was that they were doing what they were doing with Prop 8, what exactly Prop 8 was, you know, and everything that went along with it. I, you know, there are a lot of people that are like, well, you know, homosexuality is still a sin within the church, and you're right, it is still. It's not us saying, hey, you know what, they should really reconsider,
right.
You know.
And people should also remember when they listen to the Cultural Hall that the opinions expressed are not necessarily those of all of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Certainly not.
And so, but I think it's really good to, introduce those subjects so people can, they can form their own opinions and beliefs about them. We're not asking anyone to change their beliefs.
Sure.
So.
And just to throw it out there, it's something that we realize we've done a bit of. You know, there have been, you know, some pretty big things. Having Mitch be called to the bishopric is a big deal. It's news. It's not only part of our news, but it's also a very interesting interview. I thought that was fascinating to be able to visit with him. I felt like with the gay return missionaries, again, it was something that was important. And with the timing, with the, you know, episode 21, kind of that coming home from a mission, I felt it to be timely in that respect. As I look over what I have scheduled for the next few weeks, I don't have another homosexual-themed podcast coming. So I appreciate everyone who's listened to it, who's commented on it. And please go to theculturalhall.com. And if you feel like maybe I got something wrong, or if you feel, hey, you know what, you did. You had something right, and keep doing this, or try and do this, or have you thought of maybe this perspective of homosexuality, or whatever it is, I would encourage those comments. And it just makes it that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also why I have Ashley here doing this episode with me. We've had Lauren in all the episodes in the past. Ashley is here with me today. It's a different perspective.
Yes, I'm grateful to be here.
So thank you for doing that.
Thank
I wish you would have brought your keyboard. I should have asked you.
Maybe another time.
Will you?
Yes, I will.
Promise?
I'd love to. I promise.
I would even like if I did like a news story, you could like underscore it.
We should do that. We'll start making some sound effects. I can do that.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Right.
Let's get into our interview with Jill Stevens. That's coming back here in the second block of the Cultural Hall.
This podcast is brought to you by Sponsor Me Slim, your New Year's resolution solution. Lose weight 5 times faster with easy, nutritious meals and a successful weight loss coach. Meet with Denny Hill from The Biggest Loser. Call today for your free assessment, 801-652-7538. Be sure to ask about our holiday specials.
That's right. We're back in the Cultural Hall, and the second block of the Cultural Hall joining us is not only Jill, and I know her as Steven, so if I slip up, it's because I've known her for 10 years. But not only Jill, Stephen Shepherd here in the studio with us, but also her daughter Millie and her husband Carrie. So if you listen really closely in the background, you can hear Millie kind of chiming in on everything. Jill, let's do a little brief introduction. I know, Ashley, you said you know a little bit about her.
I do. I followed her while she was doing Miss Utah and Miss America. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Did the stuff put you to sleep?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good.
No, absolutely not. I just loved you. I did.
Oh, thanks.
Like everyone else in America, I fell in love with you.
Oh, you are sweet. Thanks.
Jill Stevens, Shepherd. You know what, though? Your wiki is Jill Stevens, so you may want to talk to them about that.
My Wikipedia.
Yeah,
I can't believe I have a Wikipedia on me. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty extensive.
It's a full page with pictures.
It's amazing people who update my life for me.
Yeah. and probably good at this point.
It'd be great if they told the future, like, hey, this is what's going to be happening, too. It's
like
yes,
oh, well,
yes.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Just to highlight a couple of things, though, Jill was Miss Utah 2007. She was chosen as Miss Southern Utah University and also Miss Davis County. And which one was it that made you go on to Miss Utah?
We'll both go on to Miss Utah. So uh-huh. I competed for Miss Utah twice, but I won Miss Utah as Miss Davis County.
Okay. And she's also a combat medic in the Utah Army National Guard and served as a medic during an 18-month tour in Afghanistan from 2004 and 2005, supporting Operation Enduring Freedom. This is interesting, something I didn't know about you. Your mother is a member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes.
Isn't that great that that's in Wikipedia here, too?
Yeah, they are detailed.
She earned.
Do they talk about my brothers and sisters soon?
let's keep reading on. No, but it's fascinating. You earned 5 medals for your outstanding service and was the first female finisher of the inaugural Afghanistan Marathon,
mm-hmm.
making a total of 12 marathons that you have completed.
That does need to be updated.
How many have you done now?
18.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what is your pace, your average pace?
You know, I'm not there anymore now having had a child.
Well, yes, you've had a baby, so.
Why? That slow you down?
Just a little bit. You know, things kind of change in the body.
It's true. Very.
All for good reasons.
That sounds like an excuse to me.
Hey, I will take any excuse I can get.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm usually around a 3:15. Actually,
that's amazing.
Yeah, like winning the marathon.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
right.
No, that's the Afghanistan marathon was my slowest marathon out of all 18 marathons.
And you still won the female division.
Oh my gosh. Well, there was only 80 runners.
You know what?
There's only 80.
Yeah, don't.
No, 80 runners, and I think maybe 20 women out of.
Still, that's amazing.
Like, that's pushing it. It probably wasn't even that many. Like, the third place female came in an hour and 10 minutes behind me. Like, it was just very
really
slow, you know, chill and everything. It was a trail marathon in a combat zone, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like one of the very competitive in
I'm
any
still
way.
Impressed.
My medal, I got a yellow Nalgene water bottle for my medal.
Yeah.
for my prize. First place, and they
for
gave
first
you.
First place. Nice. I get a yellow Nalgene water bottle.
Thank
so
you.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Nalgene. Well, you can stick it in the dishwasher, and that's important. And it doesn't get the bacteria, right? Isn't
that's
that
right.
What's great about the Nalgene?
I guess so. I'm not a huge fan of them. But
really?
Yeah. I just don't like the wide mouth. It just pours all over me. I'm not coordinated. So.
You're running marathons, but you can't get the Nalgene bottle.
Exactly. You know, it's just, I found my niche with running, not with drinking.
Also, too, this was cool, and I didn't know this about you. Jill and I went to college together. As with everyone that you'll hear about on this podcast, there's some sort of connection with my life.
You're connected with a lot of people, Richard.
But I'm a little concerned for the point where I have run out of.
You lose all your connections.
Hey, what about this? Let's see. It says that you placed third in the Cinco de Mayo sailboat regatta in Mexico.
Yes, that was
what
one of those
that?
Random adventures. You know, like it's so great when things just land in front of you. You just got to go for it. And I had a friend. I was on the service. I was a service leader down at SUU, and she. Actually, her and her father competed professionally. Like, they would go to Africa to, what was it? Hobie Cat was the type of boat it was called. And she said, hey, I need to get to Vegas. Are you driving down south at all? I was like, no, I'm not. But hey, you could take my car. I could just ride my scooter all day.
Sure.
And she's like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to Vegas, you're coming with me. And I was like, well, where are you going? I'm like, we're going to Mexico to compete in a sailboat regatta. And I was like,
you know, like
let
you
me
do.
Clear up my schedule. Seriously, it just happened like that. I seriously, by the afternoon, it was Thursday, and we left Friday afternoon. And
just cleared it all out and
cleared
then
it all out. I was like, I can totally do this. We left Friday afternoon, went down to Vegas, and then met up with her dad. And we drove to Mexico, crossed the border.
You know,
and,
like you do.
Yeah. And then Saturday we were competing. And so it was just a matter of like days. Like I seriously and just and I, as we were road tripping it down to Mexico, I was talking to her. Her name was Brittany. And she said, well, I was asking her a question. So like, how do you do this? Because I've never been on this type of boat before.
Yeah, we're going to be competing. And,
and
I'm
I was
be
called
on
the crew.
Boat.
I was the crew. And it's one man crew. And I was the crew for the sailor. I think they're called the captain. It's been a while.
So are you like the first mate then?
I guess so.
Or and just, I guess
I handle the ropes and the sail, like the sailor, the captain.
The rigging? I'm trying to think of terms I know. The starboard?
I have to lay flat to the canvas. It's just like this crazy boat on inflatable skis is what it looks like. It's connected by a canvas, and I'm laying on the canvas. But you have to lay down. You can't let the wind catch you to be competitive and everything. And we ended up getting third place. You have to go on the ocean and cross all these buoys, and whoever does it fast and out of like 3 to 5 races. And so we were third place. It was awesome. Cool experience that I've never done before. And I happened to place.
Yeah, so. For sure.
She's one of those people that she wins everything she just tries.
I know.
No, it is not the case. I happened to be on a really good boat with a good captain. And so he helped me. I mean, I just did what I was told. That's all it was.
I remember when I think I saw you after you ran your first marathon, when you ran the St. George Marathon.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that your first?
Yes, I think we did run into each other.
And I ran into her. She came across at like 3 hours and 30 something minutes or whatever.
Close.
She's like, I didn't really train.
What?
I remember.
I did not say that.
I really didn't really train this year, but I'll get it next year.
That
I'm
is
like,
so
what?
A lie. One of my training runs was running up to the sea in Cedar City and back. That was like 22 miles or something like that. This old man kept driving the road, and he was like, "Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah. Are you sure you want to do this?"
He was like litter pickup. He had to do something. That was his job. And he was like, wow, you're still going at this? Or you're almost there. He like became my cheerleader. It was funny. That was a horrible run. I got so sick after training doing that, running to the sea on the mountain.
So let's go back to this, because as we introduced you, we talked about your Miss Utah and stuff like that. It's a little while ago now. Now,
yeah.
We'll get into where life is put you now. But I want to go back into that, because I, of course, have never been part of a Miss whatever pageant.
I'm glad.
Of
course. That's good. That's good.
As much as maybe I've wanted to. And I'm not going to tell you guys how much maybe I've wanted to be a part of something like that. But what is that experience like? Why did you want to do it? What was...
The pageant thing?
Yeah, the pageant thing. How did that come about? What was it like?
It really came about as a dare. And just because I had just gotten back from Afghanistan. There's my cute daughter chiming in.
Hey,
I had just gotten back from Afghanistan in April of 2005. And that fall, got back at SUU. And they were starting to meet up to compete for Miss SUU in October. And someone said, hey, it would be funny if you really did this, because you're a soldier. And that's highly unlikely that they compete in pageants. So I was like, whatever, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. And they tried to convince me, and it just seemed like, you know what, why not? It wouldn't hurt. Let's just give this a try. And
in my future, I'm going to be a sailboat third place person, so why not do this now?
I think that all happened around the same fall. It was really, I just don't like to turn things down. And new opportunities, you learn something, even though it's not something, you know, you have a bucket list, but there's always new things to add to it, and just like, all right, let's check this off and see if I can do it. I never thought I would actually win.
So based on a dare, you get into the Miss SUU pageant.
Yes. And it was overwhelming. I didn't know all that we had to do. I thought it was just like, okay, show up for the pageant night. And there was workshops to go to that were optional, but I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, let's give it my all. Let's just see how far I can get. And I had no idea how to walk in high heels.
Yeah, so what is some of the other stuff? So it's walking in high heels, makeup.
Modeling. I mean, of course, you just have to present yourself. There isn't like a thing to win if you wear the best makeup or anything like that. But or the best hair. You just have to present yourself well. There's interview, personal interview, and then there's onstage interview. And there's talent, which I...
Don't have any.
I mean, clearly, I didn't know what else to do.
Clearly,
it's not like they could put a treadmill up on the stage and let me run 26 miles.
Although
for you
that would
talent.
Be the raddest talent ever.
Let's try not to put you asleep for 3 or 4 hours.
We're going to start this right now, and she's going to start her talent, and in three hours, she'll be done for the entire pageant.
So how did you?
So many jokes.
How did you decide to sing? What made you decide to choose that as your talent?
For my first talent for Miss SUU, I did a monologue.
Really?
That was a cop out. It's just like, but I've never acted before in my life. And I did this comical monologue of playing this person who was auditioning for a commercial or a play, actually. I can't remember. And she does everything you shouldn't do in an audition and was just awful. And I was like, well, I can act awful. That will come naturally. And so it worked out perfect. It got by. It wasn't the best talent by far. There were so many talented women. But it helped me get there because... I was able to interview well, and modeling that needed some work too. But they were
edges.
Okay with the soldier strut. I had this soldier strut because, I couldn't get rid of it. They tried to, have me walk gracefully with pose and everything. And
she's walking.
I came a long way.
Walking down the catwalk and about face.
That's really how it had to happen, and we had to pivot on these different places. And I just, had to march.
At
march
Jill.
To my own beat.
At ease, Jill. Please, at ease. At ease. Okay. So you did Miss SUU, and then you went on to
Went
Miss
on
Utah.
To Miss Utah, got second runner-up, which I was totally proud of. And I was done. I was like, oh my gosh, I made it this far. What an accomplishment.
Right.
And so many people were, hey, you really need to come back. You really are going to, go all the way. And I was like, I don't care about that. I don't really want to, but... After thinking about it for a few months and a lot of people bugging and asking me to do it, I was like, you know what? It just felt right. It really did. And I prayed about it even, and it really just felt like something I needed to do. And maybe I just had a lot more to learn about being a girl, and that's the reason I needed to do it, because there was so much more to learn. And so that's why I went back to, and then I won Miss Davis County and then went back to Miss Utah and was able to win that year.
And then when you went to Miss USA or Miss
America.
I'm sorry, I know there's a big distinction. when you went on to Miss America, you did pretty well, and there were a lot of people that got behind you, not only because of, you know, maybe not necessarily fitting in, but also with the whole military background.
Yeah, it was actually a really good fit, I thought, to represent America in such a way, that because I felt like I had all the... I represented women, the American woman out there. You know, we do so many great things, and... You know, there was a lot of different aspects of my life that helped represent, you know, the athlete, the soldier, and the cook. I don't know, just the student. Cook. I don't know. I love to cook. I love to bake. Yeah. But, you know, there was just a lot of different things that hopefully to help make Miss America more relatable. And it was an incredible experience. The girls were so fun, all the other contestants. And
not catty?
They weren't. Maybe a couple.
Yeah.
But seriously, probably 95% of them are... hilarious, absolutely funny, and but some of them, yeah, were very serious and focused. And
how about a reaction to you being Mormon? Any sort of thing like that?
No, there wasn't too much of a reaction. They definitely were supportive of me. There were some times, like when we filmed the reality show, that we actually were given this bag of, they called it a bag of goodies, but it had some of our outfits for the whole reality show series, mm-hmm. and everyone got pulled out these two-piece bathing suits, and I didn't want to wear one of those.
How come?
And I just don't like to show that much of my body, and it's not according to the standards that I thought, you know, and that I really wanted to wear that one-piece swimsuit to be that modest.
Was it a modesty woman, issue, or you just don't like showing that much of your body?
No, I mean, I'm totally fine with wearing a two-piece, but according to the state I was representing to, and a lot of the people that live in Utah, and I mean across the world too, Mormons, we definitely try to live up to those standards of being modest.
Sure.
Definitely some people wear the two-piece, and
sure.
That's awesome.
And I was just curious as to if you were like, you know what, people are giving me modesty points for this, but really I just don't like people seeing
no,
my stomach.
I would have been just fine with it, but it's according to my beliefs and who I wanted to show that person, portray, I really wanted to represent well.
So was it a hard decision to make? Because you were the only one wearing a one piece of the top 16 contestants in Miss America. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, was that a really hard decision to make?
It really wasn't. I mean, at that point in the competition, you want to stick out. You want to be different.
Right.
And you want to be different in your own way. And that was my own way. Of course, according to the world, you should be revealing as much as possible. And, you know, I wanted to make a statement and say, hey, you can go places without showing your body, like all of it. You don't have to flaunt your whole self or whatever.
I haven't been able to, but most people can go places without showing their body.
I bet you can get pretty far, Richie.
Yeah, look at this. Come on, we used to work.
I used to see you at 24-hour fitness all the time.
Stop it. Stop it. I mean, you're right, but stop it.
So do you think... Oh, sorry.
No, please.
Do you think that it affected the judge's decision, the fact that you wore a one-piece?
I don't think totally. Maybe a little bit. I think there was a lot factored in there. I think they're definitely looking for the best in every area. I wasn't the best model. And yes, I didn't conform and I didn't have the two-piece. And I think Miss America, they needed... If I would have won Miss America, it would have been trouble. It would have been a lot of...
it would have been people
I'm
thinking
I'm very opinionated.
That,
yeah, exactly. No, like, because they already have contracts with the company, with Miss America to... you have to wear these outfits at these different showcases or whatever, these red carpet events, and I wouldn't have been able to at all. And so I think it really would have been a lot of hassle having done that. And I don't, it definitely wasn't me. I think the modesty issue definitely had some part in it, but there was a whole part of it. They probably just didn't totally like me. That's totally fine.
Well, you did win America's Choice. Which, and I know that I, like a lot of other people, got emotional when you got down and started doing your push-ups.
That's truly one of the highlights. That was awesome to be able to do that.
So for those who don't know, what happened?
I won the award. The first time ever they brought in America's Choice, to where America got to vote for who they wanted to be Miss America. Mm-hmm. I won that, and it was truly such an honor. I felt like that was the all-time prize right there. That I didn't care that seven judges didn't want me as their Miss America, but mm-hmm. America did. What an honor. Yes. And then after the swimsuit competition, I competed in the one-piece swimsuit, made my point to all the world with that. And then I was eliminated, and I dropped down and did push-ups on stage. And almost the rest of the top 10 did with me. I think all but three girls were up there doing push-ups with me. What an honor.
It was really
it was
emotional,
amazing,
actually. It
absolutely
was.
Amazing. Yeah. And seriously, the whole place... like 7,000 people in that event, Planet Hollywood Resort, was on their feet. It was an incredible moment. It truly was.
So coming back in the third block, we're going to talk about what's going on with Jill since Miss Utah, catch up with what's going on now and perhaps what's coming up in the future. That's all coming up in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Back in the third block of the Cultural Hall, again joining with us Jill Stevens Shepherd, and we're obviously going to work our way up to that point to where it became Shepherd. But
the highest point of my life so
is
far.
It? Is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Better than a regatta?
Yes.
Better than
if I could get him on a regatta and sailing, that would be great.
That would be the epitome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the celestial, if you would.
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I want to get into some of these other things, too, with you. But we get done with Miss Utah. Then what? What happens?
Actually, really, within a week or two, I met up with Harry, my husband. And it was just random how that met up. I gave up my crown after Miss Utah, and that was in July of 2008, mm-hmm. and decided to kind of change things with my life and
pursue a husband.
Well, I switched gym memberships, and I canceled my Gold's Gym membership, and I switched to 24-hour fitness because I just lived a block away from where we are right now here in the studio, and he happened to work out in the evenings, and I never worked out in the evenings because I was always a morning person. But because of like speaking engagements, I had to work out in the afternoon that day.
Because of my speaking engagements,
I had stuff to do.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just
jealous is all.
Whatever. Do you really want to be a speaker, a motivation speaker?
Why not?
You'd be good.
He would be. You'd be a very good motivational speaker.
Stop it, both
speaker.
Of you.
Hey, maybe you can help me out with my next presentation.
Please.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk after.
Okay. Yes.
And anyways, so I had to work out in the evening that day and saw him. And we had met once before, actually, at a singles ward. And because our singles wards met at the same time. And so we had
Wouldn't
mutual
that be
friends.
That you guys are in the same ward if they met at the same time?
Same building.
Yeah, same building. Because it was
like
a Institute at the University of Utah. And so there's like 8 wards that meet at the same time.
And he was in the same chapel, which was weird, but it's not the same ward, I swear.
No. And saw him, and I just kind of made a point like, well, maybe I'll switch around my schedule tomorrow and come back tomorrow evening and see if he's
really?
Here. Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miss Utah chasing guy at the gym?
Oh, yeah. He will deny this, and I'm glad he's not in the room. I asked him out first.
Mm-hmm. And he would deny it?
Yes.
Well, how does he say it goes down?
Because I invited him over to a party at our house that we were having. It was guitars and pizza or something like that we were throwing. And
if it was a Mormon party, it has to be an alliteration, so it couldn't have been guitars and pizza. It would have to either be guitars and grooves.
Oh, really?
Or
it,
you know,
probably
what I'm saying?
Actually was that.
Yeah. It always has to be an alliteration
yes,
at a
true.
Mormon party.
That is very true.
And I invited him to that, so I figured that was kind of our first date, and because we hung out all night together. And but afterwards, and I walked him to his car after that party, and then he asked me out on the following date that following week.
So, and how'd that go?
Wonderful.
He went back and told
after
all his friends.
After a couple weeks of going on some casual dates, I just knew
we
I
got
just wanted
engaged.
To date him. No, not that fast. Yeah. Oh yeah, let's just play that up.
Jill's super motivated. It's like regatta done, Miss Utah done, husband done.
You
baby,
know that is
done.
A little about how I run my life. If I make up my mind, I go for it all the way. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. I made up my mind to do the army. I made up my mind to do the regatta. Made up my mind to do pageants, and made up my mind to date him. And date him only.
And how
check.
Long? And check. How long was it from dating to marriage? How long did you date?
5-6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's quick.
But that's it's a nice average Utah. That's pretty average for Utahns, right?
Yeah. It
that's
is
5 to 6 months.
But it does happen a lot. Yeah. Around that time frame. Mm-hmm.
And then what was going on? What else was going on? What's going on now?
That's when I was starting my career of actually what I went to college for.
Which
I had my
is?
Nursing degree, so I'm a nurse. And so I started right when we started dating was when I started at Primary Children's Medical Center in the ER. So I'm a nurse there. I've been there a little over 3.5 years.
And are still there? You're still
there.
A nurse?
Still have the same job. They still like
what
me.
What about Millie?
I work 2 nights a week. I work 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. So it's just a 9-hour shift.
Oh, wow.
And it's not too, well, I went back to work full time when she was just 8 weeks old, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Oh. And 3 nights a week. And I would get maybe 1 to 2 hours of sleep with her and have to go back to work that night taking care of all these sick kids. It was awful. I was not a happy person. And finally, my husband was like, we need to change this in order for the sanity of our family and the health of our daughter. We decided to just change things around and have me go part-time. So,
how has that been? Because that's hard. That's hard for a lot of women to go, you know, especially now it seems.
It actually was a pretty easy transition. Even though it cut my hours in half, I was working 3 nights a week full-time. Mm-hmm. And so I already kind of, in a way, had days off.
Right.
But, and so now I work 2 nights a week, but it's just a 9-hour shift. And so it works out really well because I'm able to get, you know, 3 to 4 hours of sleep at home before he takes off to work. And then I just nap with my daughter throughout the day if she's napping well, hopefully.
So let me ask you a harder question. Why not just stay at home?
And not work
and not
at all?
Work.
It gets me out of the home to feel like I'm helping. And I spend a lot of money on groceries because I love cooking.
Yeah.
And so I like to justify that. I was like, you know what? I'm helping to pay for these.
Look,
so,
look what I brought home from being a nurse.
I'm cooking you this great meal. But no, I just figured, you know, it helps us live more comfortably. It helps me to feel more responsible and gets me out of the house. And also gets them to have daddy-daughter time. Mm-hmm. Because she does get really attached to mom because I'm with her all day. Mm-hmm. And he only gets her in the evenings. But now he gets her a couple nights a week with just daddy and daughter. And it's perfect. It helps them develop a relationship. So I absolutely love our setup. Love working 2 nights a week.
So have you kind of left then? I mean, besides, of course, the cultural hall. Thank you again for being here. Have you left kind of the public eye? Or is there, are
yes,
there still things where people go,
you, things I'm doing.
Push-ups? Is there, are you push-up girl in the Miss Utah? Do you get that ever? Or
that happened a lot, probably like 1 to 2 years after. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, you know, faded and it's kind of done. A few people recognize me here and there. Ivory Homes, that whole thing kind of helped the...
Ivory Homes is a home builder here in Utah where her face was on billboards all over the place. Look at my lovely home. I had one of these faces where it's like,
it was a
lovely
great
home.
Setup. We were, you know, Carrie and I were dating. We were looking to get a home and economy was great. And it's just like... Well, heck, let's just do that. I mean, they didn't give us a home. We didn't even get a discount on it. We still have a 30-year mortgage on this thing. But
you should have held out a little
yeah,
bit more.
Yeah, I need an agent. I should have had an agent. But yeah, right now, I'm out of the public eye, and I don't mind that. I don't like to be center of the attention. I kind of pulled myself out of that. You know, as a soldier, you're used to blending in your surroundings, and the whole pageant thing was a surprise. Kind of, whoa, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this. But it was fun. It really taught me a lot. Absolutely glad I did it because it really opened up a lot of doors for me. And I still speak. Like this month, in just a couple of weeks, I'm speaking at a convention in Vegas to be their keynote. It's actually a denim company.
Of course.
And they,
when I think denim, I
you
think
know,
Miss Utah.
This company is really, it's like Pampered Chef or Mary Kay. They have denim parties. People host denim parties.
I have
parties
been to a jean
their...
party. Yes.
You've been to a what?
I have been to a jean party.
No
Love
way.
Them.
Really?
It's inexpensive designer jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It really is. And you get to try on all sorts of styles that Wait. Fit you.
It's a,
really?
It's a girl. No, this
it's
is
absolutely
a serious
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
And, it,
and
they
I'm
are fantastic.
Is it just women or is it men? Can I throw
I have
a jean
never
party?
Seen men jeans there, but I'm sure that they have them.
They're probably starting that line, but they have women's and girls. I know that for sure.
Will you ask them when you're
yeah.
keynoting?
I'm actually going up there maybe tomorrow.
Before.
Because they're giving me 2 pairs of jeans.
Well.
They want all their presenters in jeans. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
That, you don't have to wear a dress or pantsuit.
Exactly.
Yeah, ask them. I would be interested in having a jean party.
Yeah?
Come on over for jeans, guys.
You would host a fun jean party.
Yeah,
VGT,
right?
I'm sure you would.
Right? Button fly? Hey, over there. Come on in. Oh, zipper? No, you folks are over there on that side. A jean party.
A jean party.
Really?
No, this is it's a real thing. But actually, I have a question for you. You wrote a book.
I did, yes.
Yes, and so when did
that
you write
that happened right
book?
After Miss America.
Your modesty
right after
drives
I came back.
Me crazy sometimes.
Gosh. Right after Miss America, I was trying to wind down from all the huge couple weeks of competition, and someone knocked on my door and said, hey,
we're
think
members
you should...
of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah,
would you like to learn?
Would you no? like to read this book?
Yeah. Gosh, I got one. And now I'll write one.
He was like, hey, I really think you should write a book. And I was like, are you knocking at the right door? I'm not sure if you... Because I was horrible at English in high school. And my mom had to like translate all my papers to make them correct. And I just wasn't the best. And I was like, I'm not sure if I can really write a book. Who would be interested in that? And he was like, no, I really think it would work. And it was great. It was busy because I was speaking, you know, 5 to 6 times a week, flying to all around the country and writing a book at the same time. And it came out. I finished it in July, right as I turned in my crown, gave up my crown. And then it came out in August.
What's it called?
It's All Good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Came out, so August 2008.
You get it in all the typical places, Amazon, stuff like that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Can you get it on Kindle?
I doubt it. Yeah. No, probably not. That would be cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's Kindle author Jill Stevens here. So you remove yourself now from the public life. So what's next? Because here's what I love about you. Here's 10 years of knowing Jill Stevens and Jill Stevens Shepherd, sorry.
It's okay.
But here's what I love about you and, quite honestly, a small percentage of why I invited you to be here. For whatever reason, and I know what reason it is, but I'll leave it for whatever reason. For whatever reason, whenever I am around and able to speak with you, like it's this excitement about whatever's next. I'm excited now. I don't know even why I'm excited. What? Why am I excited about something? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I can take life on.
Adventures. It's true. I get excited about life. There's just so much to do out there. And I wouldn't say like there's what's ahead is like, okay, I'm now going to join the Peace Corps or something big like that and travel mm-hmm. around the country. Because, yeah, my next big thing is now a family,
right?
And which is fun. And
which you've started, Millie, is
which
what, 10
I've started,
months?
And I'm so more? Ready to
Seven?
Bring on the more
10?
Kids.
12?
We don't know,
have
but definitely
for
not
children?
That many. You know, if they come out, everyone, all children have their own personality.
Yes, right. They do.
So, you know, we can influence them as much as we can. But wow, if I'm able to have an apostle in my family, that'd be amazing.
No. I mean 12 apostles. I was saying going for 12 kids. Never
going,
mind.
No.
What's cutoff?
I mean, we'll probably gauge it around 3 or 4. We'll
nice.
See. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's always some great adventures. I know we're talk of sometime in our lifetime. We'll see if kids can come. We want to hike the Inca Trail, the Machu Picchu. That's a huge one we want to do. And then Carrie's bucket list is he really wants to do Mount Kilimanjaro.
Cool.
Yeah. And so we just love just doing little things like that. But of course, now that we have a little one, we're doing big adventures at home.
Right.
Or somewhere local.
We are going to go in the basement.
And actually, since he's not listening, I mean, like tonight, I'm going to surprise him for dinner and put a white tablecloth over our table and put
a
sign
deal.
That says Antarctica, and we're going to go ice fishing, but I'm going to cut our chicken to look like fish and have poles, wooden spoons, tie a string to it. And we're going to, with a fork at the end of the string, to stab our fish or whatever, you know, just something fun like that. Just,
sure.
You know, because we can't take huge trips or huge adventures now with kids. It's kind of hard, mm-hmm. but you can kind of bring that home a little bit in fun, unique ways.
That's awesome.
So,
you were just talking about putting a tablecloth. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I put a tablecloth on my table, that is a big night.
That's a fancy night. Like, huh?
So if you're adding fish.
So tonight we are going to Antarctica. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're ice fishing tonight.
Wear your parka to dinner, babe. Why? It is hot in here. Just wear it. I'll explain why.
We just do fun themes like that. You know, we did a vacation to Hawaii once. And I, when we were 2 months out from going to Hawaii, I did this Hawaiian themed dinner, and I made him wear a hula skirt. I did, and
what
it
a
was
good
great.
Sport!
And I made him dig a hole in the backyard, and that's where we put the pig. I made him kill the pig first. I get a little extreme sometimes. Sure,
I'm not that extreme, no. But it's just fun. You gotta. We're in a stage of life that it's not going to be traveling around the world, but
sure.
We can sure bring it home and. Get excited about this new stage with our kids. It's going to be fun.
Let me ask you this. What is your calling in the church right now?
I left my favorite calling. Now I'm in a more challenging one. I'm in the nursery now.
Really?
As of 2 weeks, I've been in there 2 weeks.
Because of Millie.
It is. Because yeah. They're like, hey, your daughter's going to be coming into nursery this year. And I was like, yes. And that is a doozy. Entertaining kids and like 15
You're
kids.
You're a daycare, essentially.
Wow. That is, it's energy consuming. It really is. What I had before that, I taught Sunday school to the 16 to 18 year olds. Absolutely loved it. And I was so excited to teach Book of Mormon this year. And then, bam, they snuck that out for me.
You'll love
I
nursery,
loved
though.
Teaching. It was so great. But I'm going to have, kids. This is going to be fun with kids because it's going to warm me up to the few kids that I'm going to have. Yeah. So it's going to be good.
It's going to warm me up. I'm having a hard time with it right now.
No, I am so ready. I'm so excited.
Yeah, bring it on. Sure.
You know, I've entered the decade of sleepless nights. Let's just bring it on. I'm so ready to have another.
Yeah.
Carrie's still adjusting to the one. And sure. So I told him he has till June.
Or what? I love those statements. He's got until this, until, or what? You're going to take Millie and be like, sorry,
no,
you weren't ready by
never.
June, peace out.
Never.
I know we said eternity, but okay. I got a hankering for another one.
Absolutely not. Then I will really be pushing him every day. Hey, we got, you know, we are ready to have
Millie
a second.
Millie sure looks lonely.
Yep. Little hints
look at
here
her.
There.
She's acting spoiled.
Daddy, I'm ready to be a big sister.
Yeah. Number one.
Buy
big
all these
sister.
Big sister clothes. Yeah.
you said that it was your favorite calling being a teacher of 16 to 18 year olds, but what would be if you could pick a calling? If you could pick any calling within all of the church, what would you pick? I know, change the rules, you're not allowed to pick it, but
I know. I loved that calling. Sunday school. I really did.
Would it still be the youth or would you go adults?
Youth. I love the youth.
Hate adults?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't like them that much. Yeah.
Once they grow up.
They're just no fun anymore. No.
What then? These are questions that we ask everyone who comes on the Cultural Hall, comes in the Cultural Hall. What is your favorite part of your faith?
I think because of it gives purpose to my day. That's what I love about it. It's just everything has a purpose behind it because of what I believe. And even if it's, you know, because of dinner, making it more fun. Wow, I'm enriching my relationship. It's just faith in knowing that I'm together with him for eternity. And I think it just brings purpose to my life and everything that I do with the creative days that I try to have out there and with my work. It's really helped me on my work. It's really given me purpose with taking care of some really sick babies. And it's given me strength because that some days are so emotionally hard. When you see these kids and so sick and my faith definitely gives me purpose. That's what I love about it.
We ask everyone also to climb up on the Rammy Umptum, which is a way to just tell people about if they wanted to get in touch with you, if you have a website or your book, all that stuff. So climb up on the Rammy Umptum and let people know how they could get in touch with you if they wanted to for speaking.
Absolutely. Yeah. If people wanted to get in touch with me, I am on Facebook as Jill Shepherd, but I'm also on my email is jillkshep@gmail.com. And if you want to check out my book, it's All Good by Jill Stevens out there.
Does it have a good looking picture of you with like a thumbs up going, hey?
There's a picture of
really?
No. Oh.
There's two of you.
Yeah.
One is in a very fancy dress and one is in
It's me back to back. One of me in my uniform and me in my evening gown.
Oh. Yeah. I was really hoping for like a really close up shot with two thumbs up. Hey, it's all good. Well, cool. Thank you so much for being with us. And did you have a good time?
I did. Have a blast with you guys. Thanks,
thanks so
Ashley
much.
And Richie T.
Thank you.
Well, good. In the meantime, we hope that this podcast will nourish and strengthen your body.
And when the time comes, you will travel home in safety.
And we added a new one the other day, too. I'll have to remember and write it down. But in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
In the back seat.
On the back row.
On the back row.
Of the Cultural
Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be